Lord, I'm still always astounded, just overwhelmed at just the reality that you want us. You want us. You want to be one with us. You really want us to know you. You want us to understand the love that you and the Father have with one another, Lord. You want us to know that. You want us to experience, Lord. You want us to walk in the same kind of fellowship that you and the Father have with one another, but also with you, Lord. I don't fully comprehend it, Lord, but that's why you came. That's why you gave your life. That's why you made a new and living way so that we can be reconciled. And it's our own choices. It's our own pursuits. It's our own rebellion at times, Lord, that severs, that hinders that relationship that you long to have with us, Lord, where really we find everything we need because you're everything we need. So, Lord, I pray as we consider you, as we just simply consider what you have done for us, it would just cause us to love you, but also to love others and to enter more fully into the relationship, the oneness that you desire to have for us, Lord, so that through that oneness, your life, your heart, your love, your mercy can just overflow from our lives to one another, because that's how the world will know. When we are living in the intimacy with you, where you're able to reveal your heart to us, then we are able to reveal it to those around us, Lord. So God, draw us in deeper into the reality, the knowledge, as Paul prayed, of the love of Christ that surpasses all understanding. Get our roots deep down in that, Lord, as we choose to suffer with you, Lord, so that we might know you in the power of your resurrection. So, Lord, just speak to us this morning, Lord. I thank you for giving us a word from heaven that you want to speak to us today. Give us ears to hear, Lord. Help us to respond. Just help us to humble ourselves, Lord, and just receive what you're wanting to do for us this morning. So I thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful for how you come to us and draw us and speak to us. You're so good. You're so kind. You're so long-suffering and patient with us, Lord. Don't let us hesitate as you are calling us, as you're reaching out to us, Lord, as you're drawing us through your word and through your spirit, Lord. Just help us to just run to you and to humble ourselves and yield to your working in our lives, Lord. So I thank you, and I'm just trusting you, Lord, to have your way in every heart that's here, every heart listening. Lord, just have your way. Do in our hearts what you want to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and turn to John chapter 12, and what I'm going to call the message today is, do you understand what Jesus has done for you? Do you understand what Jesus has done for you? Now, I don't typically try to revolve my messages around holidays, but for some reason, the Lord allowed that this time. So we're actually going to be looking at the week before Jesus was crucified and then rose again, which we'll be celebrating next week. So I'm going to start here in chapter 12, and this is 6 days before the Passover. So it would be last night. Jesus was having supper with his friend Lazarus, who actually was dead, and he rose from the dead. So that's what's happening here. says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. And I just want to just say something here. She understood something here. She had a knowledge that the others here didn't have. She understood somewhat of what was about to happen, and she's pouring out her heart to Jesus by anointing him. She's fulfilling Scripture. And as this is happening, one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said these words. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. One of Jesus' disciples, one of them in the inner circle, was a thief, and Jesus knew it. I want you to think about that. Jesus knew for a year what was going on with Judas. He was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. And it's good for us to remember what Jesus did for us. And the holiday we're celebrating is a good reminder to remind ourselves what Jesus actually did. And even this week, thinking about that this is the beginning of Jesus' Passion Week, we like to call it, but it's the beginning of the end of Jesus' life on earth. It's the beginning of a sequence of events that would ultimately lead to his torture, death, and crucifixion, but also we know, which we'll be celebrating, his resurrection. And it's good for us to remind ourselves of these things, but really, we should be considering this, thinking about it all the time. Why is that important? Well, Hebrews tells us why. Hebrews 12, verse 1, speaking of all the heroes of faith, says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run this race with endurance that is set before us. And I know, as we see what's happening in the world, I know as the spirit of this world is getting heavier and heavier, I know with just our own personal things and the busyness of this life and just everything that's going on right now, we can grow weary. We might not even feel like running. But this is telling us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Consider him. Let's think about him. Jesus understands. I got a week left. He's thinking about, he knows what's going to happen. But somehow, even though I'm sure there's mixed feelings there because he was a man just like we are, there was somehow a joy about it to him that he was about to suffer and die and give his life for us. The joy set before him, endured the cross, despised in the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And next week we're going to celebrate that. He's alive. He rose from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. And now it says, consider him. If you're weary, if things are hard, if you're finding it difficult to do the words of Jesus, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary, lest you become discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. So it's Thursday now. We're going to be in John 13. Some days have passed. It's the night before Passover in John 13. The next day, Jesus would be crucified. And the next day, the same people who in John 12, it says, you know, after he was at Lazarus' house, in verse 12 there, in chapter 12, it says the next day. So the next morning, a great multitude had come to the feast where they heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees. They went out to meet him. They cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel! You know, news had spread. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. He's the Messiah. Hallelujah! He's coming to conquer our enemies. And they're throwing palm branches down and they're shouting with joy. Well, now it's Thursday. And the next day, a lot of those people, those same people, will be yelling, crucify him. Think about that. Because it turns out it wasn't what they thought. So, in John 13:1, the night before, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And I want to include that. He loved Judas to the end. He loved Judas to the end. All of them to the end. And when supper had ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and he was going to God, he rose from supper and he laid aside his garments and he took a towel and he girded himself. So I want you to remember, I want you to think about Jesus, and this is just really a physical picture of what actually happened spiritually. It's a picture of what God did in Philippians 2, verse 4 through 8. When he says to us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who laid aside, as it were, his glory, laid aside his garments. God didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. He laid aside his glory. And he came down as a man, as a servant. That's what he's doing. He's showing them something physically that he is about to do in the spiritual realm. That he already was doing, but ultimately on the cross. Because it says, not just humbled himself to his servant, but he came obedient to death, even to death on the cross. And so he's giving them a visual right now. Because they understand this. They understand that what he is about to do is one of the lowest things someone in their culture could do, to wash someone's feet. But yet here's Jesus, their master, the teacher, laying aside his garments, girding his waist with a towel like a lowly servant. And he gets down on his knees to his disciples, to Judas. Consider him. To Judas. And when he had poured water into a basin, he began to wash his disciples' feet. Do you remember when he washed your feet? Do you remember when he still does wash your feet when they get dirty from your journeys in the world and the different things you go through in life? Your feet get dirty and he's always washing your feet. He's washing my feet all the time. He began to wash their feet and he wiped them with the towel which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And we can feel like that maybe sometimes. Because it's hard for us to understand that this God, this creator who formed us, who made us, that we're just nothing in front of that would serve us, that would want to wash our feet. And it's hard for us sometimes to humble ourselves. We have a lot of pride. So Peter is kind of like, "Lord, what are you doing? This isn't right." And Jesus said, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." And what he didn't understand, this was just a picture of the blood that would be spilled the next day that would be able to cleanse Peter from his sins, that would cleanse all mankind who put their faith in what he did. The only thing that would be able to cleanse us from our filthiness, to make us clean. We should understand that. We know now. We have the scriptures. We understand it from our own testimonies, right? Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, a new, a living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." That's what Jesus is showing them here. I'm doing something you don't understand yet, but the stain of your sin, the very thing that has separated mankind from God, I am going to make a way for you to be cleansed so that you can stand before this holy God, so that you can have access back into his heart. And we're going to look at that next week, I think, just the reality, because today is more considering and remembering and giving out the same mercy, and that's a part of our faith, but God wants to take you even deeper than that. He wants to take you to his chambers. He wants to take you into a place of intimacy that not many venture into. And that's what the new life is about. That's what the risen life is all about. So next week, we'll look at that. But right now, we're considering. Right now, we're just remembering the tremendous mercy Jesus has done for us. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. If you confess your sins, God is faithful, and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There's some here today you need cleansing. Whether it's for salvation or you just need cleansing because there's sin in your life, there's unforgiveness in your life. There's resentment, there's anger, there's bitterness, there's something in your life that's hindering your relationship with God, and God wants to cleanse you today. So be open. Be open to the Holy Spirit. Be open to what God might show you today as we remember him. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love. And that's my heart this morning. That's God's heart. He wants to stir up love in you. And he does that by reminding us how he loved us. So let's stir up love in one another today. Good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. So much more. Now, more than ever, we have to understand and remember and consider Jesus, because we are going to have to learn how to love all the Judases in our lives, those that betray us from the inside of the church and outside of the church, those that persecute us inside the church and outside of the church. We are going to need a supernatural love. You know, I never imagined that children would be shot dead in a school and the news would sympathize with the shooter because the shooter is a transgender. But that's what they're doing. They'll think they're doing good when they're doing evil. And there will come a day in this country, possibly soon, when Christians are persecuted, when Christians are killed, and the media rejoices and says they deserved it because they're intolerant, they're haters. They're the problem. Good, less of them to deal with. Let's get rid of them all. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. That's the same spirit that got a hold of Judas and betrayed Jesus. It's the same spirit that cried out, "Crucify him." It's the same spirit that reigns over the hearts of those that are still in darkness. And Jesus said, if they hated me, those who are still under the power of that spirit, they will hate you. They will persecute you. But don't be afraid. I'll be with you. I'm going to give you a helper. And you know, the disciples at this point had no idea what their lives would look like a few weeks after this. But all of them laid their lives down, except for John, who basically did in spirit. But they were all martyred, except for him, for the sake of Christ. And they loved their persecutors to the end, because they understood what Jesus had done afterward. And we need to understand what he's done to us. So much more as we see the day approaching, people. So much more. Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part of me." So this is important for anyone who does not know Christ. There's no way to God. There's no way to reconciliation without the blood of Christ cleansing your sins. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. And then Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands also and my head." And Jesus said, "He who bathes needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you." And he spoke here of their heart, because they were sincere, and Jesus knew it. But there was one that wasn't sincere. He was a hypocrite. And that's the one who wasn't clean. So it's a heart issue. It's a heart condition Jesus is speaking of here when he says, "You're all clean." I know your hearts, because Jesus knows the heart. He knew the 11 were sincere, even though he knew they'd blow it in a few hours. He knew what he was going to do through them. He knew they were sincere. And if you're sincere, God knows. Even when you fail, he knows. And he knows how to give you what you need. But if you're not sincere, you need to worry, because there's a danger in that. And we'll we'll see this in a little bit. For he foreknew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. Again, he knew Judas' heart was not right. He was a hypocrite. He was a pretender. He wasn't sincere, and Jesus knew it. That's why, you know, there's a verse, I think it's in 2 Timothy 2 or 3, the Lord knows those who are his. He knows. We can come to church, we can visit churches, whatever, and we could all look the same, but Jesus knows those that are really his because he knows the hearts of men. He can see inside. And again, he knew this about Judas, but yet he washed his feet. Who is your Judas today? Who is your Judas today? That's what God is asking you today. Who is your Judas? Who is that person that owes you? That maybe you're bitter at? That maybe you're having a hard time forgiving? We all have somebody. You just find it very difficult to love them because of something they did or they sinned against you. Whatever it is, who is your Judas today? I want you to think about that. And if someone quickly popped in your mind, it's probably that person. I had a dream about my Judas. And then God brought me to this passage. And he convicted, he granted repentance. And then I realized this has kept Jesus at arm's length. And now it's not there. And I'm understanding more of his love for me. But it wasn't until you humble yourself, or I humble myself, and I remember. Because that's what he was doing today, reminding me. Remember, Jeff, you were Judas. Remember, Jeff, you were crying, crucify him. That was you. Remember when you were my enemy? I died with you when you were my enemy. Should you not love as I've loved you? Forgive me, Lord. You're right. God, I repent. God, I release this person. Lord, I give them to you, Lord. And God, I ask you for the grace and the mercy to love them. And Lord, I release any debt, anything I feel like they owe me. And boom, he's there. Oh, that's what it was. That's why I felt cold. That's why I don't feel that connection the way I need to. My sin caused a cloud between me and God. That's what sin does. Do you understand what Jesus has done for you? If you do, you'll be willing to wash Judas' feet. You won't even cringe about it. You'll do it joyfully. In Matthew 5, verse 38, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you, take away your tunic, let him have the cloak also. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to him who asks you. From him who wants to borrow, don't turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Love your Judas. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. I don't care what they said about you. Bless them. Bless them who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. I don't think we understand that very well. I watched a clip of these pro-life people that were at a college just having a friendly debate, trying to, and Antifa showed up and they basically attacked them. And the hate, and you see it all over the place. I mean, if you're, you know, checking the news, if you understand what's going on right now in our world, there is a growing hatred for Christians, for people that are standing for truth. They go ballistic. I mean, they literally go insane. They're taken captive by the devil. I don't know how else to say it. Just like Judas, where we're going to see it says Satan filled his heart. That's what's happening in our society. Because people are giving over in such a way and have resisted the truth for so long. They're filled with the devil. They're in a rage against God and his people. And you see it now. And you wonder, what is wrong with these people? Well, they've taken over. They're full of the devil. Their only hope is believers heaping coals on their head, loving them in the midst of them hating us. That's their only hope, to come to their senses. Not reviling for reviling, not hating for hating. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Bless them. Do good to them. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. They're doing it on purpose. They know what they're doing. Bless them anyway. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. If you're a child of God, do that. If you understand what Jesus has done for you. Because he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward of you? Even the tax collectors do the same. If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Don't even tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Merciful. You shall be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful. Romans 12:17 says, repay no one evil for evil, but have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, don't avenge yourselves. If Jesus avenged himself, none of us would be here. But rather, give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Listen, we know their end if they don't repent, and we shouldn't wish that on anybody. One day, these people, our leaders, all the people pushing the stuff that's going on in our country, all the evil that happens, all these people, they're all going to stand before God one day. And they will experience nothing but wrath, nothing but an eternity, forever and ever and ever. And they will have a gnawing worm that will never die. Because maybe many of them at one time knew truth, heard truth, but they suppressed it. They suppressed it, and now they're in the reality of it. And they're in torment. And there's no way out for them. We shouldn't wish that on anybody. God doesn't. He desires that all would come to repentance. He doesn't desire that any would perish. That's why we should pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for the Judases, our own personal, but also pray for all those in power. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our president. Pray for them. Pray for those in Congress. Pray for those in the Senate. Pray for them. They need our prayers. They don't understand what they're doing. They're storing up wrath in the day of judgment. And our prayers should be, God, have mercy on them. God, please grant them repentance before it's too late. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Therefore, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Do you know what he's done for you? Just as he looked at his disciples in that verse prior and said, do you understand what I did to you? Do you understand what I'm doing? God is saying that to us. He was saying it to me early this morning. Jeff, do you really understand what I did for you? Do you remember what I did for you? And I would encourage you, write these scriptures down. Get over them this week. Find your own. Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. Isaiah 53. Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. Romans 5, 6 through 10. Cross-reference them. Find more. Find more scriptures. Get in the Gospels. Read this week all about the crucifixion, the Passion Week. Just get over it. Meditate on it. And remember what he did for you. Again, we should do this all the time, but I guess it's a good week to do that. Again, when Jesus said that, they understood later. It's what enabled them to lay their lives down. It's what helped them, even after they failed, to say, okay, we understand now, and even though we blew it, he still forgave us. And now all I want to do, now that I understand, now that I understand what he was talking about, I want to just give my life. Others got to know, and I don't care if I die. And you saw it, and when the Holy Spirit came upon them and filled them, there was a boldness, there was a passion to share the good news. And they rejoiced when they were persecuted. They rejoiced when they were forsaken, when they were, you know, told bad things about. Whatever happened to them, they rejoiced that they could suffer for him. Because they understood what Jesus had done after that. So these scriptures are good for us to get over so we understand and remember what he has done. The passages I read you in Hebrews, consider him who endured such hostility against sinners. And then go to Isaiah 53 and just read that. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was despised, rejected. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces. We were the ones in the crowd yelling, crucify. It was our sin crying out, crucify him. And he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. So when you go in the Gospels and you look at them spitting on him, slapping him, mocking him, that's all because of your and my sin. He did it for our sin. He went through what he went through for our sin. Do you understand what he did for you? And again, Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. It's grace you've been saved by. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with you, loved us even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And in Romans, where it talks about 5, verse 6, when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare die. But no. And God, this has to be real to us. It was real to Paul. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of the worst. Unless we understand, we're the worst of the worst. I'm the worst of the worst. My best righteousness is filthy rags. I don't deserve an ounce of mercy. But yet when I was in that state, he didn't die because, oh, look at Jeff. Oh, look, he's trying to do the right thing. Oh, he's a good person. No, he died because I was a wretched, rebellious sinner that had no hope of redemption. And he looked down. He saw me in my blood on the side of the road. He saw you in your blood on the side of the road. And he walked over and he rolled up his sleeves. And he knelt down. And he took your burden for his own. And he picked you up and he washed you and he cleansed you. And he gave you life when you should have died. Do you remember? God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we're still sinners. He died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I think about my life and how I was on thin ice. At any moment, I could have broke through the ice, and not understanding the wrath of God was over my head. At any moment, I could have stepped into eternity and experienced the wrath of God, but yet God somehow didn't let me break through. He had mercy on me. He waited. He was long-suffering. He was patient, and he granted me repentance through circumstances, through people choosing to love me, even though I was their Judas. I was Rose's Judas. I betrayed her. I betrayed our marriage vows. I betrayed her trust, but she prayed for me. She loved me. How did she do that? She understood what Jesus did for her. He who's forgiven much, loves much. He who really remembers how much he's been forgiven, loves much. So if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you don't do them, you will be the most miserable person on the planet. I'm just telling you. God's word transforms us when we do it. James 1, verse 22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Don't deceive yourself. If anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself. He goes away. Immediately, he forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Everything we learn concerning the words of Jesus will fall flat if we don't do it, if we don't put it into practice. So he goes on, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know who I have chosen, but that scripture might be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. And now I tell you before it comes, so when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he receives whomever I send, receives me. He receives me, receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit. And he testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Jesus was a man. And, you know, he sympathized. He understands what we go through. He understood what it was like to have someone in his inner circle. And it says he was troubled knowing this person would betray him. He knew it was going to happen. And it says he was troubled. He was probably troubled for Judas and by Judas. Because no one's love was purer than Jesus. Nobody. But yet, Judas rejected him, turned on him. And Jesus was troubled. Are we troubled when we encounter a Judas? Or are we angry, bitter, resentful, holding a grudge? Or are we troubled? God, have mercy on them. God, help them. Lord, anything I feel they owe me, Lord, I release it, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to just bless them. Come to them, Lord. Give them what they need. There's a danger when we resist the Holy Spirit. Because the heart gets hard, and we see this with Judas. It says in verse 22, when the disciples looked at one another, they were perplexed about whom he spoke. And there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore motioned him and said of who it was to whom he spoke. You know, hey, John, who is it? Then leaning back on Jesus' breast. Actually, I just want to, let me just throw this in there. It just came to me. If you're worried you're Judas, that's a good sign. Okay? You get what I'm talking about? Because they're like, who is it, you know? It's a good sign. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he whom I shall give a piece of bread, and when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. I still don't understand how they didn't figure it out there, but they did. It just shows how dull they were. It gives me hope. But listen to what it says now. After he ate the piece of bread, Satan filled his heart. That's a scary statement there. And that's what we're facing in this world. And there's people in the church like that. Fills their heart, and then he uses them to cause all kinds of problems in the church. Satan has entered him, and Jesus said, "What you do, do quickly." But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. Again, they're out of it. For some thought because Judas had the money box that Jesus said to him, "Buy those things we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. You know, again, think about it. Entered him, took full possession of him. He crossed the line. There's a danger of resisting the Holy Spirit. There is a great danger in that. And we see it here in these verses. So under his power, rebellion opens the door to give the devil access and full reign to a life. Again, that's what's happening in our society. And these AI things they're coming up with, something's going to take control of that. Artificial intelligence. I don't know if you guys understand what is happening in our world. Like, where things are going. I just read an article the other day. AI, if they don't stop it now, they're saying, is the end of mankind. Elon Musk signed a paper with a whole bunch of other scientists, again, warning, because they're so intelligent, they're surpassing human understanding, these things they're creating. Don't tell me we're not near the end. Well, what's going to fill that? There's so many things going on right now. We really need to watch and be ready and be sober. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. That same spirit that crucified Jesus is coming for all who walk and follow in Jesus' steps. Coming for all of us. This is why it's so important to understand why or what Jesus has done to us, so we can walk in the same anointing, the same power that his disciples had after he rose from the dead. We're going to need that. So when he had gone out, verse 31, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you. And he's saying this to us this morning, that you love one another as I have loved you, so that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. 1 John 2:4 says, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light. There is no cause for stumbling in him. Now is not the time to stumble. And that's why we have to deal with the Judases in our lives. That's what God's after today. This means inside the church. So many, I hear it all the time, have been hurt. I get it. You know why? Because we're sinners. We say stupid things. We do stupid things. We sin against one another. And we don't expect it from our brothers and sisters. We don't expect it from people in the church. It hurts. We get offended. But yet, Jesus says, wash their feet. Just like I washed Judas' feet. Bless them. Don't curse them. Pray for them. Do good to them. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. Peter said, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus said, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me 3 times. Peter didn't understand it yet, but he needed something more than a willing spirit. Do I want to love people? Of course I do. Do I not want to hold things against people? Of course I don't. I know that's wrong. I'm willing. Do I find in myself the grace to do that? Nope. Not at all. But praise the Lord. I'm on the other side of the cross. Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Jesus promised me the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that he gave those disciples that were fighting about who was greatest, they had no idea what it meant to be a servant. They had no idea what it meant to lay their lives down, to love their enemies. But yet, afterwards, when they understood what Jesus had done to them, when they were empowered by the Holy Spirit that He promised to them. They joyfully gave their lives. They joyfully loved their enemies, prayed for them. And so will we. If we humble ourselves, if we release the Judases in our life, don't be like the servant in Matthew 18 who begged to be forgiven, and the king forgave him this huge debt, and then he went out and found a fellow servant that owed him pennies, and he demanded him that he paid him, and because he couldn't, he was choking him, and he threw him in prison. And then the king find out, and he says, "What are you doing, you wicked servant? I forgave you all that debt. I did to you what I did to you, and now you're going to do the opposite to him? Throw him in prison." You want to be in a self-made prison? Hold on to a grudge. Refuse to wash the feet of your enemy. Hold on to whatever you think someone owes you. But if you want to be free, if you want God's love flowing through your life, and you want all the filth and the bitterness, whatever it is that's hindering God's flow in your life, just humble yourself. Just say, "God, you're right. I'm wrong. God, I repent. I know this is wrong. God, forgive me. But Lord, now give me what I need. It's so real to me. I don't have what I need. I don't have your kind of love, Lord. But God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you. You told me if I would go to your throne of grace, you'd give me what I need. So Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm laying my life. I'm letting go of this person. I'm letting go of this debt. I'm releasing anything that I feel like anyone's done to me, Lord. And I'm asking you for the grace now to love them." Amen. And you might have to do that every day. Every day, sometimes multiple times a day, until you know that you love that person. You have to persevere in it. So, I want to make a plea to you this morning. There's some here or listening online. You need a full cleansing. You haven't even been to Calvary yet. You haven't even experienced the joy of having your sins cleansed, your heart changed, purified, made a dwelling place for God where He is now coming, where you experience what we're going to be celebrating next week, that He's alive and He lives in me. Being born again. Everything Jesus did to the disciples when He washed their feet was a picture of what He did on Calvary for you. Philippians 2. He died for your sins. He humbled Himself. He became a servant. He humbled Himself even to the point of death and death on a cross. He took your sins. And the promise of 1 John is if you confess your sins, if you are understanding, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, you know, "I'm a sinner, I'm a rebel. I know I'm dirty." If you will confess your sins to God today, He will cleanse you. It says He's faithful, He will cleanse you. Just like Jesus said, your whole body needs to be washed. The blood of Christ will cleanse your conscience from dead works. So anyone here this morning, I want to open the altar to you to repent of your sins, to be washed in the blood of Christ, and to enter into the new life that He has promised you. So that the rest of your time on earth can be lived for His glory. So that you too become a vessel of mercy. A vessel of honor rather than a vessel for dishonor. Anyone here, anyone online, God is convicting you. You know you're dirty. Come to Jesus this morning. Just confess your sins. Say, "God, I'm a sinner. I know I am, Lord. And Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need what you did on the cross for me. I need the blood to cleanse me. So God, I'm coming to you today and I'm repenting. I'm repenting of my sins, Lord. I'm asking you to cleanse me. I'm asking you to forgive me, Lord. Have mercy upon me, O God. And Lord, I want to offer you my life today. I want to lay it down on your altar, Lord. And I want to know you, Lord. You said you made a new and living way, Lord. Well, Lord, I want to know that new and living way today. I want to know that I can be known by God and that I can know God. I want to have a relationship with you that is promised to me. I want to know that I'm alive and that I have eternal life, that there's a hope outside of this world. I need to know that. I know what it's like to be hopeless. I know what it's like to go from one thing to another. I know what it's like to live with bitterness and anger and fear and anxiety. I need a Savior today. And Lord, I'm coming to you this morning. If you're online, just get on your knees before God. Just get on your knees and say, God, forgive me. Have mercy on me. Cleanse me, O Lord. Lord, I repent. And Lord, as best as I understand, I want to give you my life. I want you to come and live inside of me, Lord. I surrender my life to you. And I thank you for what you did for me. I finally understand, Lord, and I want to give my life to you. I need grace, Lord. Thank you for having mercy on me. Lord, I pray for anyone now that is kneeling, anyone that is confessing you. Lord, I pray you will meet them. I pray you will pour your Spirit into them, Lord. I pray you will fill them, Lord. I pray they will know the cleansing power of your blood, Lord. And I thank you right now for what you're doing, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Anyone prayed that prayer, you need to reach out. You need to find a church around you. You need to call somebody maybe that you know that's a Christian. You need to tell them what happened so that you can learn how to follow Jesus, how to walk with him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, this is for us that do know him, but maybe our sight has been dimmed, or there's been a person, a situation in our lives that we know our hearts are not right about. We need to get right, and you're remembering now. It's coming back to you, what Jesus did, what he continues to do for you. And really, Jesus wants to get this out of your life because what we're going to talk about next week, he's wanting to take you deeper. He wants to take you into a place of intimacy with him. But we have to get that other stuff out of our hearts. So, again, you've been hurt by someone. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's someone at church. Maybe it's a father, a mother. Maybe you feel like you're being unfairly treated by somebody. Maybe you feel like just someone owes you. Jesus washed the feet of Judas. He loved Judas to the end, because he doesn't desire that any would perish. And he's asking us this morning as his church, as his children, to extend that same mercy to others. And it's simple. Do you understand what he's done for you? Do you? Then do likewise. Just humble yourself. And maybe you need to make it public. Maybe you need to come to this altar and just, in your mind's eye, whatever the person, whatever it is. I had to do that this morning. I had to get on my face And I literally laid it at his feet. I said, Lord, I'm done. I'm done. I'm giving it to you, Lord. They're in your hands. And I'll probably have to do it tonight. I'll probably have to do it tomorrow. But at least it will start. And I just want to encourage you. I got a text from the guy I'm talking to in prison. I know I can't wait for you guys to meet him. But he wrote me a text, and he's going through a really, really difficult time right now. And God has just been reconfirming. So I gave him a scripture, and he texted me the other morning. He said, you won't believe this. I got out my Bible study today, and it's this scripture, and it was that scripture. And he said these words. He said, I don't know what happened, but it was like fireworks went off inside of me, and 1,000,000 pounds came off of me. Amen. Everything is different now. Amen. So I don't know if you got, I don't know what happened, but something happened. But that's what it's like when you humble yourself, when you give it to God, it's that weight will come off of you. And you'll be free to love. You'll be free of bitterness. You'll be free of the dimness that comes with that between you and the Lord. So as I open the altar now for those that maybe you need to get right. You know, you need to come down here and just repent and trust the Lord. There's something about coming to an altar because you have to humble yourself. You have to not care. Like, hey, I shared my heart with you. I'm not afraid to do that. We all have situations in our lives. We all have people that have hurt us. We all have things that happen. And Jesus understands. And he sympathized with you, but he also says, come to me. Has the Word of God cut you? Has he exposed that today? That's what the Word of God does. Well, right after that, he says in Hebrews, so come. Come to my throne. I'll give you grace. You're going to get nothing but mercy. You're going to get everything you need so that when you get up from here, you can go do what you know you're supposed to do. So, Lord, I thank you right now, and I pray for anyone here. Just bring it to the feet of Jesus today. Say, Lord, I understand. I remember, Lord, and I'm bringing this situation, this person, whatever it is, I'm laying it at your feet, Lord. Lord, I pray as people are coming, the weights would just fall off. Lord, just right now, Lord, I just pray that the weights would just fall off. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to earn it, Lord. We just have to come and humble ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to need something greater, people. God's preparing us to lay our lives down to love in the face of hate. It has to start in the house of God. It has to start here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyone online, you can just get on your knees there. If you can't get on your knees, just get before God. Thank you, Lord. It's very simple, Lord. We just come, Lord. You know why each one is before you today. And we're acknowledging, Lord, we're wrong. We've been wrong. There's no justification we can have for not extending the same mercy that you've shown to us, Lord, because we understand, we know. So, Lord, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters. I pray for myself, Lord. I pray for your church on a whole, Lord, that is so divided. There's so much hate and division in your body, Lord. I pray there'd be a cleansing. Lord, I pray you'd help those who truly know you, that truly are yours, Lord. Help us all, Lord, to just humble ourselves, to remember, Lord, to be willing to let the mind that was in you be in us as well, Lord. Help us to let go of anything we think we deserve or anything that we think we can hold on to, our honor, whatever it is. Lord, you let it all go. You didn't grasp it, something to hold on to, Lord. You let it go. You humbled yourself. Lord, help us. Give us the grace today to humble ourselves, Lord. Remind us, God, of the tremendous mercy you've had on us, Lord. Help us to love in this hour, Lord. We're going to need something greater than what we have, Lord. And God, we're here today and we're asking you, Lord, first and foremost, to forgive us, Lord. We have no right to withhold mercy, Lord. It doesn't matter what anyone's done, Lord. So God, we release them now, Lord. We're releasing them to you, Lord. No one owes us anything, Lord. We place them in your hands, Lord. Ultimately, if something's not right with them, they will have to deal with you, Lord. But Lord, we release them to you this morning. And we ask for mercy for them. We ask for mercy on ourselves, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would endow us and endue us with power from on high, Lord. The same power that enabled your disciples to lay their lives down joyfully. Lord, we need something greater, Lord. So God, as we empty ourselves of all that we are, Lord, as we lay it out and pour before you, Lord, we're asking you to fill those places with your Spirit, Lord. Fill those places with your love so that we might joyfully lose our lives. And even in the face of people spitefully using us, hating us, saying all kinds of things about us, even wanting to kill us, Lord, I pray no matter what they do to us, we will love as you loved. As hard as they squeeze us, Lord, that love will come out. We need the Holy Spirit for that, Lord. We need you to come and do a greater work in us, Lord. We need to come into that inner chamber, Lord, so that we can know you and have your heart in a greater way, Lord. So, God, I thank you this morning. I pray for all of these that are responding. I pray for all of us, Lord, that we will enter in more fully your suffering, deny of ourselves, but also, Lord, the life, the resurrection life, the relationship, so that we can walk as you walked as we sojourn in this earth, Lord, so that our lights can shine brightly no matter how dark it gets. But let it start here. Let it start here, Lord, and then let it go forth from here. So we thank you, God, and we trust you to do what we cannot do in ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.